Welcome, friends. Welcome to Phoenix, Arizona. We'd like to have this convention opened with prayer by our Brother Herman Persaud from San Diego Ecclesia. Brother Herman.
Our kind, loving Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy most precious name. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to gather at convention time during this year. We thank you for the blessing that you receive in being able to attend and be there with those of thy precious saints. We pray for your watch care over those who are yet to arrive. And we thank you for the aspect that you give us where we fall short in our walk in our way. We ask a blessing upon our dear brother Gorecki and his service. We ask that you help us open our hearts and minds and each and every one of us in rich blessings in his service. And we ask you to continue now in Jesus Christ's name.
Thank you, Brother Herman. It's so nice to see everyone gathered together. So nice. And it's a convention because we all come together and we all participate one way or another. And that's what makes it happen. It happens because we have the same Spirit of the Lord, the same desires, the same goals, and so we come together with a common spirit. The Phoenix Bible students want to welcome each and every one of you to this, our 51st New Year's Convention. Since 1943, this gathering has been an annual event, and we hope that it will continue for many years to come. There have been many faithful brethren serve this ecclesia in the past years, and many more we hope in the years to come. And we're celebrating this time as the beginning of a new year soon to approach. And with this soon approaching new year, it engenders a time of reflection on our lives. And it's a time to focus on past events as well as new possibilities in regards to our service to our Heavenly Father in the days to come. It's a time of refreshing. And yes, it comes from the presence of the Lord. The Apostle Paul, in 2 Corinthians 13 and 5, we'll quote him here. He says, "Examine yourselves whether ye be in the truth." He says, "Prove yourselves." Those are powerful words from the Apostle. How many of us have helped someone this past year, and especially of the household of faith? How many have we helped? The Apostle John in 1 John 3:16 makes the declaration even stronger than Paul. He says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God in the giving of Jesus. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren," he says. And he goes on. But he says, "Who hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion for him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" How can it? "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue," he says, "but in deed and in truth. And hereby," he says, "we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him," before the Heavenly Father. Yes, brethren, it's a time of introspection, looking inside ourselves, to see what we've accomplished and what more we can accomplish in the years to come. It's a time for goal setting. It's a time for new beginnings. Have you been satisfied with 1994's activities? I hope not, because there's always room for improvement. When the prophet Isaiah was being readied for his new commission, he heard the voice of God speak to him, saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And Isaiah's reply was, "Here am I, send me." In essence, brethren, the coal from the altar has touched our mouth and lips as well. For are we not ambassadors for Christ? Should we not be like Isaiah, with no hesitation in service to our Lord, the truth, and the brethren? At the beginning of the resurrection, for the world in general, they too will begin to experience what we call a new beginning. Imagine, if you will, those upon their return finding themselves in a situation of a new life with all the shekels and all the obstacles removed. It's hard to conceive, but it will come to pass. In the 35th chapter of Isaiah, we find these beautiful words written by the prophet, detailing the circumstances that we have spoken of for the world of mankind. And starting with verse 8, the prophet says, and he says there's going to be a highway there. And he makes this contrast, to which we know and can relate, to a narrow way. And he says that it will be called the highway of holiness. And he says the unclean won't pass over it, but it shall be for these, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. And he says that there won't be any lion there, nor any ravenous beast. And we certainly realize that this is a prophetic look at the troubles and the snares of this present life, and the problems and the situations that seem to just devour people. No lion. No ravenous beast. But he says the redeemed shall walk there, because he's going to redeem every one of them. They're his children. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with what? With songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing will pass away. It will no longer be. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is done in heaven. Reminds me of a story of one of the old-time brethren. Some of you, I'm sure, knew him quite well. His name was Adam Miskowitz from Chicago. And he told the story of taking a flight one time, and he was on the airplane, and he was sitting next to this priest. And he just sat there, and he just kept twiddling his thumbs, wondering what he could say to this man. And he was real nervous about it. And finally he got up the courage and he leaned over and he said, "Father, when do you think the kingdom's coming?" The man looked at him and said, "What?" He says, "You know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." He said, the man got up and went to another seat. You see, brethren, the world is blind to the establishing of the kingdom, its earthly phase, let alone the heavenly phase. And if we're faithful in our walk, though, however, in our covenant with the Lord, we will bring forth Isaiah's prophecy in the 35th chapter to its fullest extent. As the prophet David says in Psalms 149, 5 through 9, he said, "Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the peoples, to bind their kings," David says, "with chains, and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgments written," the judgments of God. He says, "This honor hath all his saints. Praise ye the Lord." In closing, we would like to recite a little poem for you that we think is very fitting for this coming new year. And it's called "The Year Before Us." Standing at the portal of the opening year, words of comfort meet us, hushing every fear. Spoken through the silence by our Father's voice, tender, strong, and faithful, making us rejoice. Onward then, and fear not, children of the day, for His word shall never, never pass away. I, the Lord, am with thee. Be thou not afraid. I will help and strengthen thee. Be thou not dismayed. Yea, I will uphold thee with mine own right hand. Thou art called and chosen in my sight to stand. Onward then, and fear not, children of the day, for His word shall never, never pass away. For the year before us, oh, what rich supplies for the poor and needy living streams shall rise. For the sad and mournful shall His grace abound. For the faint and feeble, perfect strength it shall be found. Onward then, and fear not, children of the day, for His word shall never, never pass away. He will never fail us. He will not forsake. His eternal covenant He will never, never break. Resting on His promise, what have we to fear? God is all sufficient for the coming year. Onward then, and fear not, children of the day, for His word shall never, never, brethren, never pass away. May the Lord add His blessings to your endeavors for the year to come, and may He richly bless each and every one of you in your efforts to serve Him, in your heart, your soul, to do those things which are pleasing in His sight. That is our desire, our prayer for each and every one of you, and we're eternally thankful that you're all with us tonight. We've gathered again as a family of God to serve and sing praises unto Him.